Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the sun and fun capital of the world. This is Dr. John Stamey and welcome to Pro Wrestling Interviews. We've got a great show tonight. We've got a great guest, great co-hosts, but I want to make an announcement. This is so important. The Carolina Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame induction will be held on March 26th in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, at Angelo's Restaurant. It's a beautiful place. We're going to be starting at 3 o'clock. People can come meet everybody. And then 6 o'clock is the food and the fun and the induction. So we're going to have a great time. Mark that down on your calendars, March 26th. 2022, the Carolina Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame induction. Susan Green will be there. Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling, will be there. Sinister will be inducted, and lots more cool people. So anyway, I want to turn this over to the one, the only, the greatest wrestler in Ravenel, South Carolina. Guess who that is? That is the one and only, my partner in crime here, the one and only, the amazing Velvet. Velvet, how are you doing tonight?
I'm trying to put the fire out on my pants. Okay, hey, thank you. Everybody, welcome to Pro Wrestling Interviews. We have our co-host. We have the owner and boss of Battleground Championship Wrestling, Mr. Adam Helms. How are you this evening?
Doing good. It's always a pleasure to be on the show.
As always, and the professor of wrestling, Professor Steve, how are you this evening?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm definitely looking forward to tonight's guest.
Awesome. And our guest tonight is none other than, I guess, what you call the Nashville Nightmare or the Tennessee Nightmare. You've been called all kind of things, so what is your moniker right now? What is your moniker right now?
It's a combination of all of that. It just depends on who you ask, but I prefer the Nashville Nightmare.
Okay.
There's several others that have probably been called that we can't repeat here as well.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Exactly.
So, with that said, I kind of got an idea of when you became a fan of professional wrestling and where and when, from a colleague of ours that we know mutually. You probably already know who that is.
I do.
Yeah. Listen, that guy's a trip. I love him to death. Yeah. Crazy Train is an awesome
right now. Oh, he's listening. So
what's
not
that?
Put him over to
since
he's listening.
No, because he'll call in and then we'll have a run-in and all that stuff. But, no, I love Crazy Train. Crazy Train was inducted into the first class of the Carolina Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame last year. Love the guy. Very knowledgeable. He's been around like yourself. So when did you really get started in the business? When did that happen for you? And how did that happen for you?
Well, you know, I was going to shows as a kid and begging anybody that would give me more than 2 seconds to train me. And it was, you know, the Mickey Freeze, the Brody Chase, Rick Michaels, all those guys. And they're like, call me when you're 18. Call me when you're 18.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, it came down to the point, there was a little promotion here in Central Georgia that had been running a couple years, and I was frequenting their shows. And when I turned 15, I finally was like, look, let me set up the ring. Let me do something. And that's where it started. So I started bumping around, setting up the rings, just with anybody that was there that would give me more than 5 minutes. Started actually working about a year after that at 16. That's actually probably about the time that you and I worked for IWA Flash Fire, Velvet.
Oh, Lord.
We
that's so – you know how long ago that was?
Yeah.
Wow. I forgot all about Flashfire.
Yeah, I think we did a Hartwell, maybe, or one of those towns up there in North Georgia corner. I don't even remember who booked me for it. I know Johnny was still calling the shots, but you and I worked.
Holy crap, I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. Dude, listen, I can't. I've been battling cancer since 16. I've been through the ringer. My memory's not what it used to be. But this is cool. I like this. You know, and you know what's funny? You say that because it's going to happen to you at some point, too. Somebody's going to come up to you and go, yeah, hey, you know, I worked you in so-and-so. Yeah, okay, refresh my memory, please.
Right.
When was that again? I can't remember every match I've been in.
Yeah,
I mean, come on, really?
I've been working almost 17 years now, and it's starting to happen. So.
Yeah, because you know what? You don't remember everything, but you do remember some of the ones that were really good and really awful. And that's the ones in between, you're like, eh.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't remember. And,
absolutely.
So, yeah, wow. It's been a nice little jaunt down memory lane. So, that you just named, all those guys were detrimental in getting you where you are today is what you're trying to tell us as a whole.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right. So, who would be the one guy that you could say, beyond the shadow of a doubt, was the guy that said, hey, kid, you know, pay attention and, you know, gave you the good stuff. You know what I'm saying? Gave
you know,
the right
thing. That's really hard for me. There's been so many that, just like I say, Rick Michaels, Mickey Free,
right.
Steve the Brawler Lawler, Terry Lawler, Rick
Terry
Michaels.
Lawler's
I mean,
awesome.
You know, all those guys. You know, they've had a hand in making me, you know, what I am today, which. I say that like I'm some big star, but I'm not.
Listen, we enjoyed what we did, and we love it. I mean, that's what it's about. You know, I don't know about you, and I'm not trying to compare apples and oranges because everybody's journey is different in this business, whether it takes them to, you know, big time, not, whatever. I had limitations of my what I expected right off the rip, and I exceeded all those expectations, which were very low. So
right.
I can't say anything bad about anything that I've done. As far as like, I never thought I'd wrestle in front of 1,000 people, much less 10,000 people. Things like that. So how did that happen for you as well? I mean, what was your expectation going forward now that you've been trained, you've got some years under your belt, and you're starting to make a little noise?
Well, you know, I never really expected a whole lot. I knew what I wanted to do was be a wrestler. I didn't know what level I would make it to.
Right.
But that's, you know, that's where I wanted to be, and that's what I've been able to do for the last 16, 17 years.
See, that's awesome. See, this is what these kids today need to understand. You came in young, and you learned everything you needed to learn. You were around some great people in this business, some good minds in this business as well, because you named about six of them earlier, just a little minute ago. So. Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. I don't know how you feel about today, like that, you know, because the change, you watched the change as well as I watched the change, because I watched it a little more before your time, and then as you got into it, you've seen it develop to what it is. Me personally, for me, I sit in locker rooms and I hear these kids just clamoring and running their mouths like, you don't know anything about paying your dues. A lot of these companies have set places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not moving around. They have a set building. The ring stays up. They train out of it. They run shows out of it. So nobody's setting up and tearing down a ring.
Absolutely.
Nobody's doing all this other stuff. Nobody's carrying bags, for God's sake. That's unheard of today. But to me, it's the me generation. It's all about me. Look at me. I'm a superstar. Pay me. No, sir. No.
Yep.
You know, so.
You know, I do a little bit of booking and promoting here in Georgia, so I see that.
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely see that every week.
And, you know, and I'll give a kid, now don't get me wrong, I will give a kid an opportunity.
Absolutely.
But once they run their mouth or they've done something, it's like, sorry, dude, this was a one and done for you. And then they go, what do you mean it was a one and done? Well, first of all, you didn't abide by the rules, number one. You know, if somebody should have smartened you up. If you go to a, if you get booked and you agree on the terms and you show up, what is your number one job to do? Is to be all about the show that you're working on right now.
That's it.
No, I don't care to hear about the guy down the street.
It doesn't matter what you did last week or what you do next week.
Right, where you're at today. Correct. See? So you get it. Yay. So there's other panelists on this here. Of course, Adam Helms and Steve Logan. Adam, you have anything for our guest tonight? Since you booked him.
I did. Well, I always go for the talent, and that's one thing that, you know, anyone that sees Chris, the moment that you see him, you can tell that he's old school wrestling from the get-go, from the bull rope and the cowbell to, you know, his name and just the way that he cuts a promo. But, you know, every time I bring a guest on or book one, I always do my research on him. And I've been, you know, and me and Velvet have tried, and the schedule just haven't worked out. We tried to book you here in Charleston. But I was just going through some of your matches, and you've actually wrestled some of our show's people that we've had on, L.A. Tank, Team Sexy,
right,
and also a big one, Tommy Wildfire Rich. Can you tell me your experience with being in a ring with Tommy Rich?
Man, I worked Tommy for the first time probably about 10 or 12 years ago, and it was just one of those, a friend of mine had been putting some shows together, and he's like, hey, I want you to come in and work Tommy. I'm like, okay, you know, that's freaking awesome. You know, just he knows my feelings about old school wrestling. And at that point, I really hadn't found myself. So he sends us out to do a promo, to set up the match, which had already been advertised. And I'm calling Tommy out, go through the whole spiel of, you know, this isn't 1981. I'm not going to lay down for you. I'm not Harley Race.
Oh,
we get to, yeah,
nice.
Yeah. And you know, and we'll go ahead and we'll throw kayfabe out the door for this interview. We get to the locker room. Tommy goes in his bag. You know what Tommy has. We have a couple of drinks, and we sit and talk about it. He goes, we're going to go out there and we're going to walk and talk. I know you'll be fine just from the way you just carried yourself out there. Probably the biggest compliment I'd ever had at that point.
So we go out, we do our thing.
And since then, you know, I run into Tommy 3 or 4 times a year, and it's the same story over and over. We go out, we do the same thing over and over. I was actually working with Tommy about a month ago in a tag over in Woodbury, Georgia. He had him tagged up with Mr. Hughes, and, you know, with everything going on with Tommy right now, he can't do a whole lot, but he's still Tommy Rich. So Hughes and I worked a good bit of the match, but we had a really good time, as always.
Very nice.
Well, good. Nice. Dr. John, hang on a second. There's Adam. Dr. John, just
yes,
Papa
sir.
Stroh's in the queue. Papa Stroh's in the queue. Bring him on.
Well, he is. He has shown up. Hey, hold on. Papa Stroh, how are you doing tonight?
Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope you guys are doing good. Just enjoying the interview, and just glad to be here.
We're glad to have
Great.
You.
Merry Christmas, brother. It's great to hear from you.
Oh, you too, brother. I hope you're doing good, man.
I am. I'm doing well. Hoping to get back up to the Carolinas and see you guys soon.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You're always welcome,
so.
Bro. Always. All right, Adam, you got anything else, or we got or Steve ready to go?
I think Steve's ready to go.
All right, Steve, kick it, buddy.
Man, I saw this other wrestler, Black the Stack, come out to Hurt by Johnny Cash, and it kind of left an impression on me. What's the influence with you and Johnny Cash? Like, I see that you've used that as a theme as well.
I have. Man, Johnny Cash has just been a huge part of my entire life, as well as all of country music. But just it really connected with me when I was trying to find myself in wrestling and really develop where I am now. And it just really stood out, and I jumped on it.
I saw Fandango. Dirty Dango Curtis at a show recently, and he had some Johnny Cash tattoos, and he was doing a seminar, and I'm like just looking at his Johnny Cash tattoos as he's teaching these wrestlers how to work, and it was neat, like just looking at the tattoos that he had of Johnny Cash and like Brody Lee, Luke Harper on his arm. But I wanted to ask you, I was reading up on you, and you've trained with Tracy Smothers and Luke Gallows, is that correct?
It is. I did several seminars with Tracy, did several road trips with Tracy, Gallows as well. Gallows is actually sort of a neighbor. He lives in the county about 20 miles from me, so we traveled a lot together there for a long time, right before back to WWE the last time.
I feel like Tracy is one of those guys that, like, when he passed, Bobby Eaton and Luke Harper got a ton of love. Tracy was one of those guys. Like,
absolutely.
What was your relationship like with Tracy?
I booked Tracy in 2014, 2015, the first time. Brought him in, and we had communicated, you know, before that. Everything finally got worked out. We brought him in. As soon as we got to the building, Tracy was the first one there. He beat everybody there that day. And just sitting around talking with him all day. And then, you know, from then on out, we would see each other on the road, especially in Tennessee and Kentucky. We'd see each other a lot. But then we would always text, or if he had something open, I would try to help him get something down this way and vice versa. Then we would get together, ride the shows, that sort of thing. Just always a pleasure getting to sit in the car and listen to Tracy.
Awesome.
Who was your toughest opponent in wrestling?
Well, I would have to say it's going to be Steve the Brawler Lawler. You know, he had a huge influence on helping me, you know, learn a lot that I didn't learn when I first started training, and just how to carry myself in the business. But he was tough as nails. He was the person that'd punch you in the mouth and grab you a beer afterwards.
Awesome to hear. Velvet, do you have any questions or comments?
I'm going to go back to my question would be this. So who at this point, whether they're on the indies or on a bigger promotion, who is somebody you would like to actually share the ring with at this point in time in your career?
You know, that's another tough one. Because I don't watch a whole lot of what's going on today. Adam Page do. I feel like Bray Wyatt and I could have had some good stuff. Our styles are pretty similar. He was actually that guy that did the cross body that I'm like, you know, I'm 300 pounds at a time. Let me try that. So yeah, those are two of the guys that, you know, I would love to be able to get in the ring with. I missed the opportunity. I would have loved to work with the Cactus Jack, Stan Hansen, Terry Funk. You know, those are the guys that really, really who I try to pattern myself after. And I think, man, those would have been matches that I would have just loved. I got to work with Billy Black and Joel Deaton a lot here in Georgia. I got to do some of that Japanese stuff that they knew and learn from them. But, yeah, Hansen, Brody, Funk, those are the guys.
Well, good. That's something that I always bring that up every now and again. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Velvet. Sorry to interrupt, but Joe Doering. Joe Doering from All Japan and Impact. Would you ever work with Joe Doering?
I don't know that I know anything about him, to be honest. Like I say, I don't watch a whole lot of anything that's going on today.
He's kind of like you. I haven't watched a lot of his work, but he looks like a throwback, the outlaw wrestler type.
Okay. I'll, don't tell my boss, but I guess I'll be spending tomorrow on YouTube.
Well, since we're sitting here and we're talking about old school, Chris, you actually brought back an old school company in Championship Wrestling from Georgia. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we brought that back several years ago and had a lot of fun doing it. We're still doing it. But there was something else that I recently brought back that's even bigger than that. Last October, Georgia Championship Wrestling.
That is right.
And that's you know, my partner Sean Hunter, he focuses a lot on the Championship Wrestling from Georgia stuff. My hands are still in it. We're having a lot of fun, doing really well in southern middle Georgia there. Dublin, Swainsboro, Vidalia, those areas. Then up this way, Eatonton, Milledgeville, Buckhead, Madison, we brought back Georgia Championship Wrestling. That was kind of a deal where the owner of Georgia Championship Wrestling, Mr. Grady Odom, hadn't done anything in several years. And he and I had been friends. I'd worked for him several years ago. And I was talking to him one day about the show I was going to put together in Eatonton. And I was just going to call it Pro Wrestling at 6:05. You know, mm-hmm. The whole deal was we were going to start the show at 6:05. It was just going to be an old-school wrestling show. He says, I like that, but why don't you use the Georgia Championship Wrestling name? I'm like, you know, I would love to. And from there, we sat down, worked out a deal, and we ran the show last October, did really well. And then, of course, you know, dealing with COVID and everything last year and early this year, it was hard to find another venue after that. So we struck up a deal with a skating rink over in Buckhead, Georgia, and we've been running there since April of this year.
Very nice, right?
At one time, you worked for, was it Southern Violence?
I did work for Southern Violence. I was like the star.
I lost everybody.
You didn't lose everybody, Velvet. Come on.
No.
We're here.
They lost.
Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
But are we really?
Yeah, no. But, yeah, I was there for a lot of the start of Southern Violence. I just looked for stuff that wasn't me. I would do it, but it had to, you know, there had to be a meaning for it. It wasn't just going out there and, hey, let's throw some barbed wire up and butt each other up for no reason. And we kind of butted heads over stuff like that, and I was like, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to go wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
They're still doing really well. They got a really good deal or had a really good deal at a brewery there in Athens. I think they're going to another venue in the coming year. You know, I think they're on Fight TV. I actually was talking to one of their owners today. He was saying that, you know, they've got the Fight TV deal. They're going into like a studio feel at this new venue. So wish them nothing but the best. It just, you know, hardcore wasn't my thing unless there was a meaning for it.
Correct. That's what I was going to ask you on that. If You know, there's a difference between a hardcore match and then a really just blood and guts death match kind of thing. And I think that's what, just like you were saying, I think that's what they were, you know, going for.
Yeah. They were leaning more toward the death match stuff, and it wasn't for me. So we parted ways, and you know, if they came back with a good angle, it missed something.
This is Dr. John. I wanted to tell you something that you might not know or you may have heard about. But about 25 years ago, when I was working with the Italian Stallion, I promoted wrestling in Athens, Georgia at the 40 Watt Club, Barry Buck's club. And I know she's moved it now, but it used to be downtown. We ran wrestling there one night a month for a year, and it was the most fun. We had kids from the University of Georgia getting in the ring, beating the hell out of each other. And then we had, of course, the Italian Stallion, the Bloodseeker, and that whole bunch. But so, yeah, we – and then what was really cool is one night we were opposite the Insane Clown Posse. They were at another venue, and then we all met up and after our event and their event, and we just talked a lot. We had a great time. But I'll tell you what, wrestling in Athens, Georgia – was the most fun I have ever had, and I was the promoter, and it was so cool. I mean, God, Athens is such a great town, such a great music town.
It is. Man, there's so many little towns right there in north central Georgia and all the way up into north Georgia that are just great wrestling towns, and Athens is one of them.
And I'm going to ask you one question. I run the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and that is in Clayton.
Uh-huh.
And people have been asking me to bring wrestling to Clayton. Is that outside of your realm of possibility?
Do it, man. Let's do it. Clayton was a good town for a little while. Remember Jason Speedy Nelson, ran there for a good bit and was doing really well. That's probably been 12 or 15 years ago that I know of that wrestling's been in Clayton.
Well, I tell you what, I'll just give you a call this week and talk to you about it, because I love Clayton. We've got the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. That's April the 16th coming up this year, this next year, 2022. People love Bigfoot. They love wrestling. What more can I say? All right, I'll shut up and I'll turn it back over to Velvet. Yes, sir.
Hey, Velvet.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Let's talk about that later this
Velvet.
Week.
Sure.
Yes, Steve.
Hey, Velvet. Yeah. Thanks, Velvet. Can you explain the 605 crew? Can you explain how that happened? And
everybody asked me that. And it was something that was never supposed to be a thing in front of the curtain. several. it kind of just took off, man. We would hashtag it on posts and Facebook and stuff like that, and people just started picking up on it. But yeah, it was just a bunch of us that really eat, sleep, and breathe old school wrestling.
That's funny.
And we just kind of started calling ourselves the 605 crew because we all grew up on WTBS Saturdays at 6:05.
Exactly. Before I get Papa Stro in on this, I have a question also.
Sure.
Georgia Southern University in Statesboro, outside their front gate, they have these four or five bars that sit in a little horseshoe. Have you ever been there?
I have not. The only time I've been in Statesboro, I got kicked out of town.
Well, in that little horseshoe, there is, like I said, there's four or five bars right there, and they always have a big comeback to school party. They have one in the spring. I was thinking that's something that somebody might want to look into. Show right there, because they have bands and stuff in the parking lot, because they all share the same one parking lot. Now, why not have a wrestling show right there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the championship wrestling from Georgia territory, you know, Swainsboro, Statesboro, that area right there along I-16, that's kind of the area that we run it. So, yeah, that would definitely be something we're going to have to look into.
Yeah, I would definitely, yeah. Because I thought about doing it at one point, but it never came to fruition. But I had gone down there several times. I was working on tap and CO2 soda machines and stuff. I was going down there to repair them, and I did every one of those bars down there. I don't know that I can't remember the name of them. It's been quite some years ago, but I saw this place, and I was like, "This is a gold mine for a wrestling show."
Absolutely,
so, something to think about. Something to think about, because if all those bars pitch in like they do to have bands come in and whatever else, they can pay for a wrestling show.
Absolutely.
You know, everybody gets paid, promotion gets keep money in their bank, you know. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Now, Papa Stro, what's going on, buddy?
Yay, great to be here with you guys. This is kind of a lead into the question that I had. You brought back a lot of memories of Georgia Championship Wrestling, though, man. Oh, gosh. I know I would have this discussion with Thunderbolt Patterson, Tommy Rich, quite a few others who I teamed with Tommy quite a bit over the years. A never dull moment, man. But so many great memories. I mean, as a matter of fact, I remember when I was in the area, you know, Paul Lohndorff told me about a place called the Varsity, which had some of the best hot dogs around, and we used to go there, and you know what I mean. And oh God, they're amazing. But it, like Jerry Oates and, oh, man, Ken Timms and Don Jardine was a spoiler. And you had, Stan Hansen. Matter of fact, Hansen and Brody were the two guys that I actually got to meet live for the first time ever in a wrestling event, right? And it was just amazing. Now, I used to call Brody Blackbeard after one of my favorite pirates. And he just get a kick out of it. I was younger, right? But a question I was going to ask, which lead into that, is who were some of your inspirations that inspired you to want to be part of the business? You know, when you were growing up.
A lot of those very same guys. I was flipping through the TV one morning. I remember this just like it was yesterday. I couldn't tell you the year or the date or anything, but I remember. I was probably somewhere between 4 and 6 years old, flipping through the TV, and the WWF Superstars was on the USA Network at that point. They were doing the morning show, and Shawn Michaels was in the ring. And I immediately whoa, that's awesome, you know, and I was hooked there. And then, you know, I was trying to find more. Then I stumbled on to WCW Saturday Nights. And that's where it really clicked for me, because at that point, you know, you had the Jimmy Goldens, you had Robert Fuller there, you know, they were doing their thing as the stud stable. You had Hogan on top, and that's where it all just started clicking that this was what I wanted to do.
That's really awesome. Matter of fact, Jimmy Golden was like one of my first matches in Smoky Mountain Wrestling years ago. It was so cool. And, you know, the being introduced into a new company that with one of the best, right? And because, you know, I've been a big fan of the Stud Stable, you know, and the Fullers from Continental and everything. And it was great to, you know, to meet them and work with them and all that. And that eventually led to WCW later on, where Fuller became Colonel Rob Parker and all that. It was just stuff. It was kind of like one off the bucket list for me, right? So that was really cool.
Absolutely. You know, speaking of Continental and the bucket list, I actually I was in Dothan several months ago, worked the farm center. And now I find out that my match was probably the last match that will ever happen in that building.
Wow.
Found out that there was an article floating around Facebook a couple weeks ago that they were looking to demolish the Farm Center.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So many memories in that place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that was my first, and apparently now it's going to be one of the last that were in that building. I hate that I didn't get there sooner.
Bro, that's a huge honor. You know what I mean? Huge honor.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Hey, good stuff.
I got another question.
Go ahead, Steve.
I read that you work office, too. Do you prefer wrestling or working office?
Man, it's a toss-up. I enjoy both. Both can be a headache. Both can be a pain in the ass.
Yep.
One definitely hurts more than the other.
Yeah.
Amen to that. Amen to that, bro.
It seems
they,
like
they both can lead to drinking.
Oh, yeah.
he ain't lying.
I think the behind the scenes is just as interesting as, or more than the actual show. So
absolutely,
I'm always
absolutely
interested to hear how, like Brian Kendrick right now is a producer, Jimmy Jacobs a creative. It's just interesting to see how they transition.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely, you know, as long as I can be around, I'm going to be around the business in some form, and kind of already taken that step in that direction. But I'm not done yet.
That's good to
absolutely
hear.
You know, one of the last times I was in Athens, funny story, there was this mini wrestler that was, like, drunk. And the guy was supposed to be in a ring with was complaining because he was too drunk to be in a ring with. And I think it's myself, Ricky Morton, and Bobby Fulton. A few other boys were, like, trying to talk to the drunk mini wrestler. And he wanted to challenge us all, take us all on. He's cutting promos and all of us, right? And we're, like, dying. I mean, it was the funniest thing ever, man. I had tears in my eyes. Classic. Good time.
That's funny. That's too funny.
So, oh,
Chris,
I
have
to ask,
you ever
read?
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Chris, you ever see any bar brawls?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
That comes with the business, Steve. That's a rite of passage, bro.
That's why,
that is a rite of passage.
Hey, that's why strip clubs are preferred, I heard.
I won't say whether I was involved or not, you know, for legal reasons, but yeah, I've seen several.
Been in several, yes. Been around them, yes. That's funny. Oh, my goodness. That's too funny.
So, Chris, your wife is in the business or was in the business.
Yeah,
was she in it before y'all met or...
Well, we actually we met through a mutual friend from high school. I was already in the business, and she wanted to be. Funny story, we went out a couple of times, and things just weren't going to work with us. Then, you know, as time passed, we ran into each other, got back together, and kind of went from there. But, yeah, she's managed. She's had a couple matches. But, yeah, right now she's kind of focusing on trying to start a family, so she's hung them up for now. But never say never, you know?
Hey,
yeah, you never say never in this business.
Some of the best bumps I took were from my exes.
Well, she's not getting
silly. And did that make you drink, too?
Channel, but,
yeah, literally.
<What's that?
laughs> I said that made him drink as well.
Yeah, I was feeling like a champ.
Sometimes you have to oversell for your safety.
Amen,
right?
Yeah.
I'm hurt. Leave me alone.
Maybe this walking off the other end.
Oh, my goodness. Honey, don't you know what a tap out is? I'm tapping.
Shooters, I tell you.
Oh, my wife's a shooter, and I'll never forget that.
I'm afraid of your wife.
Funny story about my wife. One of the first times she was ever in the ring, she had been managing me a little bit before that, but the first time she ever did anything in the ring, we were actually working at her on Madison, Georgia, and she wanted to do something. I'm like, okay, well, and I was actually working Terry Lawler that night. He comes up with the idea of, well, he had somebody in his corner, so let's start this like it's a tag match. She goes in for the lockup, hard ways in right above the eye.
Oh.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
yikes.
He affectionately refers to her as the shooter of the family.
Yeah. Absolutely. She wasn't playing games, baby. She's like, we
not at all, not at all.
Now,
yeah, she picked her spot and had to get over.
Right, <She's> done. Yeah. I'm tagging out. It's over. So, Chris, have you ever worked a midget or a little person?
I have actually. Kenny Beckner, who a lot of people know around the North Georgia area, he works for NCW, SWA, a lot of those promotions right there in that Northeast Georgia area. He's generally a manager, but we were doing a six-man tag earlier this year, and his faction, we were something I actually hate is being the baby face, but... We're the baby faces at NCW, my brother and I. We actually just picked up their tag titles a couple weeks ago. But so we do this deal where we've got a partner. His team has to find a partner. He's going to be stuck in the match. So he and I actually started the match and did a couple little spots. So, yeah, definitely a lot of fun working with him.
Cool. Because not a lot of – you don't – it's kind of – they've got their own little niche now. They have, you know, micro championship wrestling, and they stay within their little group now, a lot of them. There's a few that do venture and do other things. Mm-hmm. But, it's far and few between anymore, you know. It was always fun to see that match on a show when you worked a show, you know, especially being old school. You're like, hey, how come we don't have, you know, the midgets match, or how come we don't have that David versus Goliath, you know, the midget versus somebody who's like 7 foot tall? I mean, come on.
Right.
It's funny. It's great.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? I miss all that stuff. Oh, yeah,
those,
I miss all that stuff.
Those things that people fail to realize still sell tickets.
Exactly. And, you know, if you could ever get a hold of one that would be willing to do it, that's one thing now, because they, like I said, they stay within the confines of what they're doing now, which is, I mean, unless you can get a Hornswoggle or, I don't know if Short Sleeve Samson's doing it anymore or not. He would venture out. You know what I'm saying? A few other guys, but I would love to bring that back to a show, you know, like not every show, but every couple of shows down the road.
It's amazing what they can do in the ring, man. It's just amazing. Such athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Many wrestlers.
Absolutely.
Those guys can go, man. They can go.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I got a question.
Okay, go ahead, Steve.
Any bull rope matches? Any bull rope matches?
Every chance I get. Every chance I get.
Lots of
bull
color.
What's that?
There's lots of bleeding juice color.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Like I said earlier, it's got to mean something. But yeah, every chance I get, if I get to pick the gimmick, then it's definitely going to be either the Texas Bull Rope or the Texas Death Match.
Nice. Very good.
I love that Lance Archer brought it back for New Japan's. Lance Archer is one of my favorites right now.
I want to see.
I can see him sandbagging them when they're trying to drag it off four corners.
Right.
That's work right there, bro. That's work right there, brother.
You earned this
if,
one.
If you do a bull rope match with the Amazing Velvet at this point, it's going to be a hot pink bull rope. I just tell you that now.
Beautiful. we're gonna have to bring
Did
that
you,
across state line way though. South Carolina.
Right. Could you, yeah, I know. Oh, could you imagine that though?
Oh.
Could you imagine that?
Pimping out the bull rope. That's great.
Absolutely.
Right.
We'll put some rhinestones on the bell.
No, he's gonna be like, I can see Chris now. Chris was like, I'm not putting that on. Ain't happening. We're using this one. Pulls out the old dirty one. It's got dust on it. Throws it in there. We're using that one.
I got a question. Just because I'm going through, you know, your match history and everything. Back in 2019.
Oh, Lord.
A shot of whiskey four-way match. What
exactly
did that entail?
Hey, give me the hot tag.
A hangover.
Straight up hangover.
So, yeah. Yeah, that was actually at Southern Violence. Probably one of the last matches I had there. They brought out some whiskey and some shot glasses, and every, I believe it was 2 minutes, the bell would ring. You'd have to stop and take a shot, then continue the match.
Oh, no thank you. New.
Man, what a match.
Well, you know
that,
some
that,
people
that could
would
go all night. That could go all night.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
But,
and feel nothing, no pain.
Exactly. That's not one that, you know, if you're a professional, you're not going to work that one.
Yeah.
Sheesh. I just did that after matches.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. No. I mean, it's just, you know, just so many different ones. Is, you know, another one that caught my eye was a country whipping match.
Mm-hmm. That would have been a essentially a fans participation strap match.
See,
okay.
I could go for that, but I don't trust our fans.
Right.
Yeah, no, I don't either. No, our fan, nope,
yeah,
not our
those
fans.
Those fans would gimmick that stuff, man.
I'll
gimmick
yeah.
all them. Yeah.
But we know one thing in BCW. Tank will never be hit. Everybody loves LA Tank. I don't get it, but, you know, that's another day, another show.
Straight up been healing since he made his debut 3-4 years ago in South Carolina. Can never be a heel. His tag team, now, I manage him and Big Game James, and they're called Diverse Effect. So when Tank comes out first, they all cheer. His tag team partner comes out behind him, they all boo him. It's great. It's hilarious.
It is.
I mean,
hey, Velvet, you remember when he was under a hood and they were still popping for him?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They were
they were
like, nah, we know who that is. We don't care.
Exactly.
Like, what the hell, man? It's like, oh, my goodness.
I mean,
yeah,
we
anytime tried they tag
to turn
out,
him
yeah.
heel, it ain't happening.
You're right.
I straight up had a piece of metal pipe that was that I could put in the palm of my hand, tapped it on the ring post so everybody knew, ting, 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 it's real.
Mm-hmm.
I chucked it into him. There's the business. Gives it back to me. I stick it in my boot in front of everybody, and they cheer when he wins. So I'm like, dude, he just not to do that. I mean, come on, really? Come on. Help me out. Nope, he can't be a heel.
So
there you go.
We pretty much have about a little over 10 minutes left in the show. Chris Elton, have you made it overseas or to Canada, or do you have any ambitions of going that way?
I have not. Well, I take that back. I I had been in contact with a promoter in Jamaica and Puerto Rico at one time. Was toward the end of 2019, so of course, you know, everything went to hell in 2020, so that did not happen. Looking real hard this year, going to try to go back up to Northeast a little bit and out to Texas. I've been in talks with several promoters in Texas about going out that way. Definitely want to get back over to the Carolinas. Love to see Papa Stro again and sit around and be in the locker room with some guys like him and Tank and some of the others.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely. That's great. So, with that being said, Papa Stro, would you like to work Chris, or would you like to tag with Chris?
Either or, man. Either or, that'd be a treat.
I think the last time I was in North Carolina, we did a six-man tag. The 605 crew. Yes. And we against Team Sexy and Tank, yeah. But yeah, we could revisit that.
That'd be amazing.
We could come up with something like that.
You're telling me that Donnie put L.A. Tank and Papa Stro in a ring together?
Yeah.
Many times. My God.
Yeah, we were way too many times.
How many years?
I know. Three or four.
Dear God.
Y'all did everything but kill each other in that ring.
I even had him on me one time after the match.
I know.
You would appreciate that, Chris. You would appreciate
that. What was that?
I had him hang me after the match. I mean, you would appreciate that. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
But he had a bull rope, and, you know, he hung me, you know, get some heat. But then they still scared
me. Man, that was probably one of my scariest moments. I had a guy hung over the top rope with the bull rope, and about 75% of the crowd was headed toward the ring. Needless to say, I didn't leave the building for several hours later.
Right.
You think? Good for you, smart man. I'm going to wait this out.
Absolutely.
That's a great idea about the bedazzled bull rope, though. The bedazzled bull rope, that's pretty... Yeah, pretty genius.
That would be good. Hey, man, you book it. I'm in it. I'm down.
I'm all about that.
That'd be funny as I'll get up. Man, be like, you ain't hooking me up to him. I would do new.
Right.
Then commence to beat the crap out of me. As soon as I turn my back on you, you're like, oh, that's it. Opening. Oh, be great.
Ooh, one last question.
Sure.
Okay.
Favorite Johnny Cash song besides Hurt?
Besides Hurt, also between Folsom Prison Blues and Get Rhythm.
Yeah,
those are two of my favorites too. The most recent one I was listening to was 13.
Mm-hmm.
By Danzig.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Chris, do you know who Dr. John made mention of the guy's name earlier, the wrestler called Sinister? Have you ever worked him or met him?
That name sounds really familiar.
His real name is Greg. He's 6'4", black guy. Who is in jiu-jitsu, MMA, grappling, and wrestling.
Yes. There was a show in Augusta, Georgia.
That's where he was mainly working. Yeah.
Yep. Last time I was there, again, several years ago, we worked a three-way with somebody that Chief J. Eagle had brought down. It was the three of us. I can't remember the other kid's name to save my life. But Jay had brought him down, and we worked a three-way.
Okay.
Oh, Jay Eagle, he was our guest last time, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So Sinister is now not working for any promotions in Augusta. So if you have need come in 2022, I'll make a connection between y'all two. Y'all can work that out.
Absolutely.
Because he's an awesome guy. Can work anybody. Super nice. Super easy to deal with. So doesn't complain at all.
No,
so,
no,
I mean,
remember. I remember working with him. I don't remember that. Man, that's going to drive me crazy not remembering that other kid's name.
Well, here,
it'll
like
hit me
I said, right? It didn't hit me till after you said Flash Fire, and I went, oh.
Yeah.
Earlier. Like,
yeah.
I do remember that now. Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's like Michael Cole that does Michael Judas. I just got finished with my – I was in an in-between time of surgery, and I was running the show, and I managed Tank, L.A. Tank, against him at the show, and I lost all my hair. I didn't have any hair on my body because the chemo had just killed it in the radiation. So anyway, he comes in, and he's just standing there looking at me, like dead-eyeing me. And I'm like, hey, what's up, man? Come on in. This is the locker room, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, okay. And every time I walked in and out of the locker room, he just stared at me. And then I said, hey, Bo, obviously you don't remember who I am. And he goes, I surely do not. I go, I'm the Amazing Velvet. He goes, what? I said, yeah, I've been battling cancer, blah, blah, blah. I've lost all my hair. Isn't that? I said, now you remember me? I said, I remembered you when you first broke into business, probably about 3 or 4 times in the first year you were in the business. He was like, holy crap. So, yeah, he's funny. I love him. He's huge.
I thought you were
going to
tell the story about him flipping you in the ring and your wife was going to kill
you. Oh, God.
Kill all
of us. She's going to kill. Now, Chris, this is funny, right? I'm managing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I came up to give Tank the gimmick, so Michael Judas grabbed me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Totally forgetting that I can't do come in the hard way over the top rope.
Right.
And he pulled me in the hard way over the top rope. And I'm coming over the top rope, he's like, oh, his eyes get so super big. And before I could hit him, he's like, I'm sorry. So I take the bump, I landed perfect, no harm, no foul. But my wife is standing at the corner of the building, just dead-eyeing everybody who was out there.
I turned around and walked to the back.
And one of the wrestlers came out from the back and rolled up and said, I'm not about to get murdered for you, so I'm getting my gear and I'm leaving now before this match even ends. It was so funny. God, I love those things. So fun. So much fun. But, yeah, so we're at that time frame. Papa Stroh's the busiest guy in the business right now, so we're going to start with you. All your plugs for the week, what you got coming up this week, and any special shout-outs. Go, buddy.
Yeah, well, I'll be in the Room podcast this Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, VOCNation.com. Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, WCW Retro. We're having a special Christmas party that night, so come on, call in and celebrate with us on VOCNation.com. And then Friday night, my horror sci-fi show, The Stroh Zone, at my Facebook page, facebook.com/StrohTheMaestro. Christmas Eve night, I'll be showing feature The Night of the Living Dead. So please tune in for that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be having my first wrestling event on the Step in the Ring of 2022, Sunday, January 9th, for World League Wrestling. No, a pro wrestling league, excuse me, Mid-Atlantic. And it'll be at the Green Valley Skating Rink in Bluefield, West Virginia at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in Bluefield, West Virginia. So
nice.
You get to, for more info, go to PWL Mid-Atlantic on Facebook for more information on that event. So I'm looking forward to getting back to seeing all my people in West Virginia. It should be a good time. And Merry Christmas,
awesome.
Everybody. Thank you for having me. It's been awesome.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Chris.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And Adam, what you got, buddy?
I really don't have too much. Everyone keep your eye to Pro Wrestling Interviews for updated guests coming. 2022, we have a lot of new stars coming up, so keep your eye to the Facebook page.
Cool. Steve Logan, what you got, buddy?
Just looking forward to January 22nd, UEW United League Wrestling in Richmond. And then the 15th, there's a BJJ tournament I might go watch. So definitely got some stuff to look forward to in January. And thanks for having me on. Good guest tonight.
Awesome. Great guest. Chris, what do you have to plug and shout-outs?
I actually don't have a whole lot coming up this week. I am going to drop into Anarchy Wrestling in Cornelia, Georgia on Christmas night for their big Violent Night Super Show. Outside of that, I'm back in the ring January 7th at the Landmark Arena there in Cornelia for NCW. That's their Friday night shows. Then again, I believe the next thing I have in January will be January 22nd, Georgia Championship Wrestling at the Got to Be Rolling Skate Center in Buckhead, Georgia. You know, you can find me on Facebook, Chris Nelms. Definitely looking to fill out the year. So any promoters, especially in the Carolina area, I haven't been there in a while, so definitely want to get back up there. So definitely let's talk business.
Absolutely. And don't be a stranger. You know, keep reaching out to us, and we'll keep reaching out to you. So
awesome.
That said, Dr. John, thank you. Appreciate you being here. Great time tonight. Chris Nelms, y'all go check him out on Facebook. Check him out at Georgia Championship Wrestling, NCW, all the things he just said. Go check out Papa Stroh and everything that's Papa Stroh. You can find him on Facebook and all the social media. Battleground Championship Wrestling, we haven't posted much yet, but our calendar is going to start getting ramped up for 2022. And with that said, Dr. John, take us home.
Yes, sir. Dr. John here. So glad to be taking everybody home. We've got the Carolina Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame March the 26th at Angelo's Restaurant in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And we will soon be announcing the opening of the full-time Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame venue in Myrtle Beach. We're working on that right now. It's going to be great. I want to say thanks to Chris. Thanks to Papa Stroh. All I got to say is Papa Stroh and I had some of the best road trips, and they're not over yet. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this has been the most fun to go back and talk about Athens, Georgia, where I used to promote wrestling, and it was so much fun. So thanks a lot, and we'll see you next week on the one, the only, the greatest indie wrestling show in America. Of course, this is Pro Wrestling Interviews.
Have a Merry Christmas, everybody.
See you 9 o'clock next week.